Today is the first Sunday after Easter, and the gospel appointed for today is from St. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. Today is now the 8th day of our celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. Christ Jesus, crucified under Pontius Pilate on Good Friday, rose again on Easter morning, and his resurrection was witnessed as St. Mark the Evangelist testifies, "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons." Does it surprise us that Christ first appeared to Mary Magdalene? For Christ declared in Luke chapter 11, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted, and divides his spoils." The devil, the strong man, was defeated by Christ Jesus, the stronger one, so that the Christ appears first to one who was so publicly liberated from the devil's power. In a sense, Mary Magdalene typifies the whole church, which is delivered from Satan's power through the death and resurrection of the Christ. St. Mark records that after our Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene, after that he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. St. Thomas was not, therefore, the only one who doubted. All of the 11 doubted the testimony of those who had seen the risen Lord. The words which our Lord spoke to Thomas probably struck the consciences of all of the 11 when he said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In the epistle reading for today from 1 John chapter 5, St. John tells us about the blessing which is with all those who so believe. For he wrote, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" The victory over the world comes to those, therefore, who are born of God. Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Such faith is created in us by the working of the Holy Spirit, who works such a living faith in us through the hearing of the Word. St. John wrote, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, gives life and salvation to all who believe in him. The lections appointed for this day emphasize that the hope, the life of all the faithful, rests in the Redeemer who is God in flesh, Christ Jesus. Job lived in the distant ages before the coming of the Christ, and yet he declared with a God-given faith, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job firmly believed in the resurrection, and believed that he would behold his Redeemer, the Redeemer who was to come. This faith was certainly rooted in the Word of God, for the words given to Adam in the garden, promising the one who was to crush the head of the serpent, speak comfort to all generations of the faithful from the time of Adam. But our Lord's words assure us of the comfort which belongs to those believing the gospel in the time following his resurrection. For he proclaimed to St. Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." All the generations of the faithful trusted that the Messiah would come. Jesus told the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." But the Lord's words seem to imply that already, in the days immediately following his resurrection, that there were those hearing the word of the resurrection and believing it, even though the 11 were slow to believe that same word. St. John's words assure us that the word of God which brought faith to all the faithful in the Old and New Testament is the same word which brings salvation to us. For he wrote, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We are not told that the Word of God will answer every question we can dream up, whether about the details of the life of our Lord or regarding any other point concerning which we might be curious. Rather, the gospel is given to us. The gospel is written, as Scripture says, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. One of the words given, therefore, that we may have life in the name of Jesus are those which he spoke to his apostles. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." What do you believe according to these words? We confess in the words of the Small Catechism, "I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation, and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself." Or as it's expressed in the words of one hymn, "The words which absolution give are his who died that we might live. The minister whom Christ has sent is but his humble instrument. When ministers lay on their hands, absolved by Christ the sinner stands. He who by grace the word believes, the purchase of his blood receives." Now the flesh wants to deny such a confession. The flesh wants to say with Thomas, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Such a spirit is kin to the one who would say, "Well, I believe God's word, but the word which is preached to me is just a man's opinion." Now this might sound pious, but it is a denial of the word of God. Christ declared concerning those whom he sent, "He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." And we teach and confess in the Augsburg Confession that saving faith only comes through the office of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments. For there we confess that we may obtain this faith, the office of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. For through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Ghost is given, who worketh faith where and when it pleaseth God in them that hear the gospel. And again in Article 8 of the Schmalkald Articles, again a part of our Lutheran confessions, Martin Luther taught that contempt for the preached word, especially the word of absolution, is a grave sin, which he called enthusiasm. And thus we teach, "And in those things which concern the spoke word, we must firmly hold that God grants his spirit or grace to no one, except through or with the preceding outward word." The eyes and ears of the flesh only see and hear one of the 11, or one of their successors in the office of the holy ministry. But Christ clearly teaches that we are to receive their words as his words. Thus he declared, "He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Thus Luther declared in one of his sermons, "If you sin and confess it, believing on Christ, then your minister and preacher will forgive you the same sin in Christ's place, and the words which he speaks are on God's behalf, you ought to accept as if Christ himself had spoken them to you. Therefore it is right to call the word of the minister and preacher, which he preaches, God's word, for the office is not the minister's and preacher's, but God's. And the word that he preaches is likewise not the minister's and preacher's, but God's." So far Luther. And we have heard in the epistle lection, "And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. The testimony of the Holy Spirit is heard through the word of God, which is preached to you. For St. Paul declares, 'How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?' If you will not hear that which is preached to you according to the commandment of Christ, you will not hear. If you reject the keys which Christ has given, you will not be absolved. The Lord of the Church has established his word and sacraments as the means of grace for your salvation. There's no other means for creating faith, no mysticism, no other word. Thus our confessions declare, 'Therefore, in regard to this, we ought and must constantly maintain that God does not wish to deal with us otherwise than through the spoken word and the sacraments, and that whatever without the word and sacraments is extolled as spirit is the devil himself. If you reject the binding and loosing key, therefore, you have taken nothing away from their efficacy, but you cut yourself off from benefiting from the gift the Lord would give you through absolution. If you reject the word of God as it is preached to you, you take nothing away from its truth and power, but you reject the grace the Lord offers you through that word. Do not imagine that you will hear the grace of God if you reject the means of grace which he has established." When the Jews of Antioch rejected the word of God which Paul and Barnabas preached to them, St. Paul declared, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." Rejecting the word took nothing away from the word which was preached to them, therefore, but that word of salvation would now be proclaimed to others. Flesh and blood do not grasp this, but the faith which believes the word of God is created by the Holy Spirit working through the word. Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, gives life and salvation to all who believe in him. Our Lord declares, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Yes, blessed, we would say, because such faith is not of their own making, but it is the gift of the Holy Trinity for their salvation. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We are not so born of our own labors or decision, but the Holy Trinity has come to us in the cleansing flood of holy baptism and washed away our sins, making us adopted children of God in Christ Jesus. It is as Paul wrote to the Romans, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." If you reject the word, you have no one to blame but yourself. But for all who believe, such faith is the gift of God, assuring us that all is as Christ's gospel assures us, that the Son of God became flesh, dying on the cross bearing the guilt of the sin of the world, including your sin and mine, and that believing you may have life in his name. For all who believe in the Christ as the Son of God, their Savior, his death and resurrection is our hope of forgiveness and eternal life. For the triune God gives us these gifts now, through his holy word and sacraments. For through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Ghost is given, who worketh faith wherein when it pleaseth God. This is our confidence and our peace, now that God has forgiven our sins, for we have received his word of absolution, and that word of God is truth and brings life, making us partakers of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Amen. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who have celebrated the solemnities of the Lord's resurrection may, by the help of thy grace, bring forth the fruits thereof in our life and conversation. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.